Translation in purple by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, translation. This is translation to text number 137. No one can understand the loving intimacy between Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit gave up his vow and service to Gopinath just as one gives up a piece of straw. Purport. Just to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, Gadadhar Pandit gave up his life's vow to engage in Gopinath's service. This kind of loving affection can be understood only by very confidential devotees. Ordinarily, no one can understand its purport. Please repeat after me. No one can understand, the loving intimacy between Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit gave up his vow and service to Gopinath just as one gives up a piece of straw. Omegyana tamarandasya, yananjana shalakaya, chakshuum militam yena, tasmai shri gurave namaha, shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale, swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam, vandeham shri guru shri yutapada kamalam, shri gurun vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Twam Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kapatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So in this loving exchange between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, we get a sense that two different things are going on at the same time. Externally, the Lord has requested Gadadhar Pandit, you should go to Jagannath Puri. You've made the Kshetra Sannyas. You have service of the worshipable Gopinath deity. So this is what you should be doing. At the same time, Gadadhar Pandit, he has a very different response. Basically, to hell with this, I'm going to come with you, Lord Chaitanya. That's his mood. And it's interesting that in the next verse, you'll understand that this mood that he has is actually very pleasing to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even though he's going to display, as it's called in the next verse, he'll display the anger of love, the next sentence begins, Gadadhar Pandit's behavior was very pleasing to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. So this is very, very instructive. Anya bilasita shunyam, Ganakamad Navritam Anukyu Lena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. This devotional service is all about the service attitude. It's all about the mood. We understand that Krishna owns everything, is the source of everything. Aham Savasya Prabhavo Mata Savam Pravatate Iti Madhva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samamvita. Everything is emanating from him. So what can you give the person who has everything? That is the question. What can you give the person who has everything? The difficulty we have in the material world is that we start everything from our perspective. You see? And that is a blind sight. It is actually it is a form of blindness. Sometimes we say that someone has a blind spot. A material position means a blind spot. And all of our troubles, they emanate from this one thing. We're in the wrong position. What does it mean to be in the wrong position? It means to think that I'm the doer. Prakriti kriyamanani gune kamani savasya ahankara vimudatma kataham iti manyate. Kataham. Kata means the doer. Aham, I. Iti, thus. Manyate, he thinks. Our difficulty is that we think that we're the doer. And therefore we become the center of the universe, and therefore it becomes difficult to understand what will truly be pleasing to the Lord. One way that this shows up is to think that we're doing something very special. Again, what do you give the person who has everything? The person who has everything, what you give them is you give them your sincerity. You give them your gratitude. Ultimately, you give them your mood. The mood is the thing that's wanted. The service attitude is more important than the service. Why? Why do we say that the service attitude is more important than the service? Is because actually everything comes from your attitude. How many of you have ever been in a situation where someone did something for you and you distinctly didn't appreciate it because of the mood in which they did it? Anyone been in that situation before? Okay, you understand exactly what we're talking about. The action was done, there was an action, but it wasn't done in the mood that was actually pleasing. Therefore, it wasn't accepted in the same way. These loving exchanges, they're so intimate and they're so special because they teach us so much. For example, throughout the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we understand this sadachar. We understand how to behave in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. But we can ask ourselves the question, where does this sadachar come from? What we practice in our behavior, in our Vaishnava dealings, where does it come from? The sadachar, what we practice, is what is done spontaneously by these pure devotees. How they act, their spontaneous behavior, that is what we then practice. But there are so many deep levels to that spontaneous behavior. Here is just one example. And it's very interesting because we know the Gadadhar Pandit is who? Radharani. Right? So we know that the Lord comes, there are these five features of the Lord. Right? The Lord comes himself, his incarnation, etc., etc. Bhakti Shakti come. His devotional energy comes. Why does Gadadhar come? Because when Krishna appears in this world as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radharani wonders, I wonder how he will take my position. So she comes as Gadadhar Pandit to see how the Lord plays the role of a devotee. The Lord's devotional energy. So she comes, right, in the form of Gadadhar Pandit. And interestingly enough, you see so many parallels, so many connections. Gadadhar Pandit takes initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi in Krishna Leela is Rishabhanu, who is the father of Srimati Radharani. So all of these coalesce and come together very, very beautifully. In these previous verses, let's go back. So from 131, so the Lord has requested Gadadhar Pandit to return to Jagannath Puri. Gadadhar Pandit told the Lord, wherever you are staying is Jagannath Puri. This is also very, very instructive. Wherever, he says to the Lord, wherever you stay, this is the Dham. We know that there are different manifestations of the Dham. There is the eternal spiritual world and the spiritual sky, Goloka Vrindavan. Sometimes devotees think that when one leaves the body, one goes to Goloka Vrindavan. Prabhupada explains in 10th Canto Bhagavatam, that's not what happens. He explains in 10th Canto that one will take birth somewhere in the material universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes. And then through that association, one then goes back home, back to God. So they are back to Krishna. But they take birth somewhere where Krishna is performing his pastimes. But there's Goloka Vrindavan. Then there is Bhauma Vrindavan. So this Vrindavan, you book a flight, you go to Delhi, you get in the taxi for 3 hours, and then you go to this place called Vrindavan, Bhoma Vrindavan. But there is also Drishyamana, right? So this is the Vrindavan after Krishna has left, and it's covered by a layer of visible material energy. But there are also another two Vrindavans. Right? There is the Vrindavan. I was just making notes. There is a Dham that manifests within the heart of a pure devotee. And there is a Dham that's expanded from that pure devotee. So sometimes great devotees, they will create a replica Dham. The Goswamis did this. They'll create a replica Dham because they are so absorbed in Krishna's pastimes and the intimate reflections, associations, and interactions that take place in that particular realm. So there are different manifestations, and this alluded to here, right? Wherever you are staying is Jagannath Puri. He's saying to the Lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Within our teachings, there is also more and more. There's more and more detail, more and more refined detail to the teaching. Because on the surface, you could say that this person is rejecting the order of the Lord. But actually, this person already loves Krishna deeply, fully, completely. So everything that they do is inspired by that prema. Just take a moment to consider that. What would our life be like if every single thing that we did was actually inspired by love of God? And we may consider the question, what exactly does that look like? We're very lucky because we have an answer. If we want to know what it looks like when every word, every deed, every thought is inspired by prema, you look at one person, you look at the life of Srila Prabhupada. And you can see in the behavior, in the mannerisms of such an individual, what it looks like when every single word, thought, deed, every single mannerism is empowered and inspired by love of Godhead. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came 500 years ago. He came to set the example. Prior to him, Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. And he gave this particular point, Sarva Dhamma Parityaja, Mame Kam Saranam Vraja, Am Tvam Sarva Papibhyo, Moksha Yishyami Masucha. Krishna came and said, you should all surrender. He gave the instruction on the battlefield to Arjuna, meant for all humanity at all times. But very few people understood. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the example of a devotee. But again, relatively few people understood. So then his mercy has come again. The mercy of the Lord comes again by the great saints that walk amongst us, that walked amongst us in the form of our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, to make the teaching even more tangible and visceral for every single member of the human civilization for the next 10,000 years. So this is the treasure if we're willing to take that particular gift that we've been given. So here this point is being made that wherever you are, Lord, this is actually the Dham. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, if you abandon his service, it will be my fault. It is better that you remain here and render service. That will be my satisfaction. This, when I was looking at these verses, something really struck me. Because in response to this, Gadadhar Pandit says, look, don't worry. All the faults will be on my head. I shall not accompany you. And what struck me here was the degree of responsibility of Gadadhar Pandit. I'm going to act. Don't worry. It will be on me. I take full responsibility for the actions that I'm about to engage in. Do we have that same mentality in our spiritual life? Spiritual life is a razor's edge. Why is it a razor's edge? Because even if you're given your instructions by your seniors, if we do not accept full responsibility, something very subtle can happen. And I see this happen a lot. What happens is I take the instruction and I don't follow it properly. or I take the instruction and I follow it in a half-hearted way. And when it fails, who gets the blame? Think about it. It's not enough to receive the instruction. One has to take it body, mind, soul. One has to make it one's life and soul and do it fully. Fully and properly, with full responsibility for that particular instruction. Otherwise, it's very easy to say, oh, it was this person's fault, they told me to do this. But in many cases, a good instruction can fall off because you can have a good instruction executed poorly. You understand the point, right? So it's not just the instruction, it's not just the sambandha. In Krishna consciousness, it's not just the quality of the sambandha, it's the quality of the sambandha, the abhideya, and the prayojana. It is a complete circuit. So we may receive instructions from our elders, from our seniors. It's not enough. Right? You could say that there's a parallel. This Anyabhilasita Shunyam verse, you could say that there's meant to be a parallel in the life of every devotee. The instruction is there, but what is the mood in which that instruction is followed? How sincerely is that instruction followed? And if we don't understand how to follow that instruction expertly, then we should make an inquiry. Yeah. This is how it works. So these teachings, they always have more and more depth to them. On the surface, what you're doing. Beneath the surface, what you're doing, how you're doing it. Right? Beneath the surface, what you're doing, how you're doing, why you're doing it. Yeah. The entire circuit has to be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sometimes what happens in our lives is a good instruction executed badly becomes difficult. You know, sometimes devotees are going to get in a relationship and they're given blessings for the relationship. And they think, because I've been given blessings, I don't have to do any work. You understand what I'm saying, right? They think, well, I got the blessings. If it doesn't work out, Guru Maharaj's fault. He gave me blessings. No. Everything requires complete effort from start to finish. And you see this wonderful example here. Gadadhar Pandit, I've heard your instruction. I want to do this. I take full responsibility for what I'm about to do. Let's move on. Let's read on. So Lord Chaitanya says, you have abandoned Gopinath's service and broken your vow to live in Puri. All that is now complete because you have come... So Gadadhar Pandit goes on to say, I shall go to see Sachimata, but I shall not go for your sake. I shall be responsible for the abandoning of my vow and service to Gopinath. Thus Gadadhar Pandit Goswami traveled alone, but when they all arrived at Kataka, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him and he went into the Lord's company. Then the next verse that we read, no one can understand the loving intimacy. This line is extremely significant. No one can understand the loving intimacy between Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This gift of the Bhagavad Gita and all of these books given by Prabhupada is a phenomenal gift for all human civilization. And you find that there are many scholars who will try and give their own view on the Bhagavad Gita. I think we mentioned this before. There's some scholars who came, I think it was here actually, and they were being shown around one Prabhupada's disciples, and one of them said to the to this devotee, he said, why don't you change the title of this book? And they're referring to Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he said, what your Prabhupada seems to be suggesting is that his Gita is a proper Bhagavad Gita and other people's Gitas are not proper. And so this Prabhupada disciple told the academic, he said, Prabhupada's not suggesting that. He said, that's exactly what he's saying. Right? That's exactly what he's saying. In fact, if you look at the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, it says, Prabhupada basically says at the time of going to print, there were all these Bhagavad Gita and they're all basically useless. Right? How's that for being tactful? He says, they're all basically useless. And he means it. He means it. When he says it, he says, the proper medication, you're complicit, right? That particular disease that's killing them, You're complicit because you had the proper medication, you had the proper prescription, and you refused to give it to them. You're complicit. So Prabhupada, when he speaks like this, it's that mood of compassion. Right? When we consider what happens in this material world, we have so many opportunities for divine intervention. Every single one of you, you are a divine intervention in the lives of other individuals. You're a divine intervention, potentially. Whenever you give people some kind of access to Krishna, whether it's prasadam, whether it's the holy name, the teachings, the books, you have intervened in the material history of the entire human civilization, and you've intervened in the material history of that particular individual. It is just that significant and visceral. But you know what? If we want to really make an intervention, there's one thing that's very, very difficult that we have to do. Right? This age of Kali is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Has anyone ever experienced quarrel or hypocrisy in this age of Kali? It's the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Where we struggle as devotees sometimes is to work together. Is to cooperate, to really interact together in that mood of divine community. It's so interesting. This Tattva Sandarbha, when it speaks about Praman, it lists 10 Praman, and of the 10, it lists 3. Jiva Goswami lists 3 that Vaishnavas use. He says Shabda, Anuman, and Pratyaksha. Very, very interesting. So you have the statement itself of the Shastra, the Shabda itself, and then you have what's implied by the Shastra. Right? Sometimes this is called Shastra Yukti, the logic of the Shastra. So we have this understanding, Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So what is that implying? Right? It implies that any grouping, community, marriage, family, a project that is successful, we know Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So any grouping that is successful is one where the individuals involved have learned to deal with conflict and disagreement in a healthy way. Okay? Think about that. We know this atmosphere is filled with quarrel and hypocrisy. You are going to have disagreements. Nope, that's not me saying it. That's exactly what the Shastra says, quarrel and hypocrisy. So therefore, it is giving, for those who are intelligent, there's a purport here. In fact, one of the beautiful things about the teachings, these teachings are concentrated. Because, to use a strange analogy, like washing up liquid. Right? So when you use this washing up liquid, you sometimes take a drop, it's concentrated. You put it in the water, it expands. Because the molecules are packed together and you can expand it. You can do the same with the teaching. Right? You can look at the teaching and you can consider, what is the implication of this? Right? And by considering, what is the implication? What is this statement implying? Then you can understand more and more. It is actually a technique. It's actually also like a technique of translation. So, you know, there's this famous verse about those who live the village by the river Ganga. Right? And if you look at the translation, Prabhupada talks about pure-hearted individuals who live by the river Ganga, who live in the village by the river Ganga. It doesn't say pure-hearted individuals in the actual Sanskrit wording. It's what's implied. So the logic is as follows. First of all, these people in this village, they live by the river Ganga. You know that when you bathe in the river Ganga, what effect does it have on the heart? It makes the heart pure-hearted, right? It purifies the heart. So, because they live in the village by the river Ganga, this is where they're going to bathe. And because they're going to bathe in that river, therefore the implied meaning is it will be a village of pure-hearted people who live by the river Ganga. Right? It's the implied meaning. Throughout the Shastra, you will find all of this additional, amazing inspiration and insight if you just consider what's implied by this statement. Huh? Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Implication, if we want to get along, Don't wait for Maya to attack you. Right? Someone who's very intelligent understands this is the nature of the environment. If that's the nature of the environment, let's get on the front foot. Let us consider how do we, when we, not if, when we disagree, when we have differences of opinion, when we see people and ourselves are not quite up to the mark, how are we going to process this and deal with this in order to move forward? I received a message last year and I was heartbroken. It was one devotee. This devotee is wonderful. I've known this devotee for years. Very sincere. Very sincere. And now they're stepping back from the movement. Right? Why are they stepping back from the movement? They had concerns. They saw some behaviors which they felt were hypocritical from particular devotees. It caused them to have a crisis of faith. First of all, one should not have that crisis of faith. One should be able to see more deeply than that. Okay, so it's not an excuse. One should not have that crisis of faith, but one should understand that others may have that crisis of faith. And therefore, what we are meant to be doing is we are meant to try to be a proper example for others. 100% strict with ourselves and 90% tolerant with other individuals. We want to be the example that we wish to see with others. You cannot imagine how many times just a kind word, your encouragement to another devotee, your example by serving the devotees, you cannot possibly imagine how much that does. You know? I was thinking about this recently in relation to just a conversation I had recently with some devotees. There are many, many ways in which we can serve. And if we learn, this is a real point, to please take this seriously. If we are able to learn to be mature enough, it takes maturity. If we're able to be mature enough to appreciate sincerely every single devotee's service, you will see the movement will explode. And you'll get the credit for it. Okay? I've sometimes heard, sometimes devotees who have children and the mothers or the fathers, oh, I'm not doing much service, I'm just raising the children. And I'm thinking, if this is what they think about that service, they're not going to put their heart into that service. They're going to think it's a second-class service. But what we should be doing is letting them know, no, we love and respect you. We see the hard work that you pull into that service. And we know that if you deal properly with that devotee, those children that you have, by being a good example and serving sincerely, they will flourish in their devotion. I was in Vrindavan recently, and I'm speaking to one devotee who's on the yatra with us. And this devotee is born in the movement. And he started speaking to me about this point. And I remembered something that I heard before, that sometimes those who are born in the movement, in some cases, they felt that they were neglected. And because they felt they were neglected, because mum and dad were always doing the mission, and they didn't give time to me, therefore, now when they're older, they don't want to engage in the mission. Do you understand how this works? Right? So there's nothing that's unimportant. Your service is important. But just as important as your service is, everyone else's service is important. So we have an amazing opportunity to please Srila Prabhupada. We have an amazing opportunity to please Srila Prabhupada. And it's encapsulated in this one thing, relationship, real community. Where we genuinely see, genuinely appreciate everyone's service. The pujaris on the altar, when you see these deities, they look beautiful, aren't they? Just look at the deities, Radha Gokula Nanda, it's just so amazing. Someone else has worked very, very hard to dress them, right? To engage in the worship, and we all get the benefit of that particular person's worship. So we have this opportunity. We can either cause the movement to flourish or we can sabotage the mission for which Srila Prabhupada came by undermining each other and playing politics. It's very, very unfortunate. But this sometimes goes on. So what we want to say to you is your service is deeply appreciated. Whatever you do in Krishna's service, it's all significant. There's the form of the service, and as we were touching upon earlier, there's the mood behind the service as well. So we really want to create a loving community. The materialists, the people in the world right now, there's so much burnt out. There's so much disappointment in this modern world, more than you realize, much more than you realize. Because the way that the material energy works, there's so much passion. And what passion does is it makes things seem better than they actually are. You understand? Right? I know, I see this all the time. You go onto social media, these people are smiling, laughing, and joking, and you find out that these people are on the verge of a collapse. Right? There's just one bad situation after another. Don't let that happen to you. Huh? Do not let that happen to you. First of all, do not be fooled by the illusion. When Prabhupada is coming to the West, you see his prayers. He talks about this Western world which is covered by the modes of ignorance and passion. So never think that things are what they seem. Maya, remember this word, that which is not, right? Illusion. We just have to scratch beneath the surface. So you are not, so all of the devotees, you're not the poor relatives in this material world trying to keep up with the materialists. That's not true. Actually, what you have is something far deeper, if we can go deep. Right? This is where the trouble comes. You have something far deeper, but in order to claim the treasure, one has to actually claim it. One has to go deep. And how do we do it? Through the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. It's just like someone gives you a map. If you follow the map, then you can actually know exactly where to dig in order to get the treasure. These teachings, these books, the reason why Prabhupada labored so hard is because they're like a map. You understand? These books are like a map. The mood in which you behave, the way that you deal with the devotees, the way that you forgive the devotees when they make mistakes, and the same way that you ask for forgiveness when you make mistakes. That the ability to come together in a loving mood and to support each other in their devotional progress, you'll be shocked how much progress you can make by doing that. Our difficulty is that we see the world, what is it? Atmavan manyate jagat. Everyone sees the world from their own conditioning, from their own position. I'm into projects, so therefore, you know what the big thing is? It's a project, Prabhu, right? Do the project, that's how you go back home, back to Godhead. No, it's one part of it, it's one way. Someone else, it's all about the book distribution. Right? You heard that before, right? It's all about the books, Prabhu, right? With the army, right? Books are the basis. Books are absolutely important. Right? Someone else, it's all about the Harinam. It's all of these. But more important, it's the mood in which you are offering that particular service. Right? Please try to understand that. And the sign that we understand this deeply, the sign that we are mature, this is what it means. Someone has to be the adults in the room. That's the truth. Someone has to be the adult in the room. The more that we're mature, it shows by loving encouragement in the entire association of devotees. And when I'm insecure, what do? I put down other people's service in order to feel superior myself because I'm insecure. You understand? Yeah. So we have to become a mature spiritual community. We have to understand when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on this earth, he sent a message. It's not how do I go back to Godhead. No, it's how do we go back to Godhead. This Sankirtan movement, Sankirtan, all together, Kirtan, collective Kirtan. It's not how do I go back to Godhead. It's how do we go back to Godhead. What keeps coming to mind is the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. I do not want to be liberated alone. So he has this mood. I'm just concerned with love for all these living entities who are rotting in this material existence. How do we go back to Godhead? And so if we can live in this particular mood, we see this exemplified in the exchanges between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. If we can live in this loving mood, you will literally laugh and dance and cry your way back home, back to Godhead. This is this Krishna consciousness movement. We want to be shushukam katum avyayam. We want to joyfully, deeply, and with heart, really engage in the gift that we've been given. The gift that keeps giving so much that when you give the gift away, the gift comes back to you again and again and again. So in summary, when we look at the teachings of this particular pastime, we understand that wherever the Lord is, wherever his devotees are, that is the Dham, living Dhams, because they capture and they carry Krishna within their heart. We understand that what we're meant to do is go deeper. When we go deeper, what is seemingly on the surface, we understand more differently when we go beneath the surface. Just like here, although externally Gadadhar Pandit is being rebellious, we know from immediately the next verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's pleased with that behavior. Why? There's this mood. Everything is being done spontaneously out of love for the Lord. That mood is what we're trying to capture. In other words, service mentality is more important than the service. We understand that everything has its import or purport. So just like Kali Yuga is an age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the implied meaning is that we're going to disagree sometimes. And we can get on the front foot by thinking, how do I deal with disagreement and differences of opinion maturely in the association of devotees? Someone, let's be the adults in the room, right? Let us be the mature devotees in the community that really helps to elevate. And if we can be mature enough, if we can let go of our insecurities and we can genuinely appreciate and encourage everyone in their service, then the maximum offering is made to Srila Prabhupada's movement. And because you've done that, this abundance that you've been sharing, the generosity of encouragement that you've been sharing in your spiritual life, it will flood your consciousness both now and it will flood your consciousness at every step of your spiritual journey, and it will take you back home, back to Godhead. So, maybe we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Janitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Do we have any questions, comments? I saw quite a few hands up. I'm not sure who's got the microphone, but you can choose that way. It won't be controversial on me.
Thank you for class, Prabhu.
Thank you for tolerating.
So, I don't know, you did mention that we go to the planet where Krishna performs his pastimes. Is it okay to ask a question about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's our seniors here, I may not know very much, but...
Because there isn't so much information that I've read anyway. Yeah. But is it that when you go to that planet, you have a body that's the form of your swarup, and it's spiritual? And can you fall from that planet, or is it pretty much a foregone conclusion that you're going back after that?
Thank you very much. To be honest, I've not read much in that particular area either, so I don't know the answer. But I will first of all pass it to my seniors and scholars to make comment so I can learn as well.
I can confidently tell you that that is above my pay grade.
Okay, but thank you for the question, because it is something I'd like to research, and hopefully next time I'll know more about that. But at the present moment, I read that particular purport from Prabhupada in 10th canto, but I didn't read more in terms of any elaboration from Prabhupada. But thank you for asking the question, Hare Krishna. So whoever the microphone goes to next.
Can I ask? Please. So you were talking about like encouraging devotees in their service and stuff. I was just wondering how, like, the correct mood to receive encouragement and actually like take it in the right way, because sometimes it can feel quite difficult, like being encouraged, because you want to try to be humble and stuff, or you just don't know how to accept it. And
yeah, good question. So encouragement and receiving encouragement and humility, they're not contradictory. We should consider that I need that encouragement. And we should consider that that encouragement is a causeless gift ultimately coming from Krishna. It's coming through the devotees, but it's coming from Krishna. Krishna, you're so kind that even though I'm so fallen, you're still trying to encourage me in this practice. even though I don't deserve it, you're so kind. When we take everything as Krishna's mercy, it actually changes you. Right? You should understand that. See, if you take something as a... If the false ego receives whatever you're given, you'll find you become hard-hearted. You know? And actually, interestingly enough, not only will you become hard-hearted, it will start to show on your face. Because your meditation actually affects you, eventually affects your gross physical body. So when a person becomes hard-hearted, you see that they also become a little bit like, you get this kind of sense of bitterness and resentment because they're always expecting that they deserve more. Right? This, about time. Why didn't you do this? And I should have got that as well. I should have got this. It actually closes the individual down. But if you have a mood that whatever I've received, I don't deserve it, that's the mood of humility, then whatever you receive, it softens you. It actually softens your heart. And it's that softness of the heart. The heart is an instrument. It's the softness of heart that allows you to really perceive how to please Krishna. It's the purification of heart, and that purification of heart, it manifests in a soft-heartedness. If you study carefully the devotees in our movement, those who are genuinely advanced, you'll see that characteristic across the board. They're very soft-hearted. They're not weak. It doesn't mean that they don't address an issue that needs to be addressed, but you don't see this kind of begrudging bitterness, you know, political behavior. They're very soft-hearted, and it's that softness of heart that allows them to feel bhakti, to experience, oh, Krishna's pleased. I can feel Krishna's pleased. So we need to fine-tune that instrument so we should receive the encouragement as the causeless mercy of the Lord and be grateful for it. Does that answer your question?
Thank you
for your question. If you pass the mic to anyone who has their hands up.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for class. I was just wondering... how do you navigate, because differences of opinion also exist in the spiritual world, differences of how to perform service better. Mm-hmm. So I just wondered, like, sometimes maybe someone may think that serving Krishna is better that way, and then it will automatically become like an obstacle in someone else's service. And I don't know, as an example, for example, the Prabhupada's God brothers, they may think serving Krishna is better this way, but obviously Prabhupada did what he did. Mm-hmm. And what we understand from hearing from Prabhupada that, well, you know, he was right. So I just wonder what you can say about this.
So there's many different reasons why we disagree. So let's break it down. The first level is it has to be within Guru Sadhu Shastra. Right? If it's not within Guru Sadhu Shastra, then we're on the wrong track from the beginning, right? So as long as it's within the realm of Guru Sadhu Shastra, now we can actually see, right? So there's a president here for serving in this way. There's also another president here for serving in a different way. Both things can sometimes be correct, or it can be what's best according to time, place, and circumstance. Okay? So you think that according to time, place, and circumstance, we should approach the service in this way. Okay, the other person thinks according to time, place, and circumstance, we should approach it in a different way. First of all, if it's real service, I have to maintain my love and respect for you as a devotee. I have to understand, it is the person sincerely has a difference of opinion. If I don't maintain my love and respect for you as a devotee, it doesn't matter how clever my answer is, it's wrong. Right? Because I've immediately moved off the devotional platform. Understood? So first of all, in the realm of devotion, it has to be within Guru Sadhu Shastra. Second point, the mood of respect has to remain, no matter whether I agree or disagree with the idea. And then once that's done, sometimes we can try different things and see if different things will work. We know that Srila Prabhupada was expert in what he did. Why? Because we can see the results. What does he say? He says, you judge a tree by its fruit. So we know he was right. There's no question about it. It's a historical fact. It worked. What Prabhupada did, it delivered people all around the world, and it still continues to do so. But we can say that without criticizing his godbrothers. There was a pastime. And so one of Prabhupada's disciples said to Prabhupada, why did your spiritual master have so many bad disciples? Because they knew that these godbrothers were critical of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was furious. He was furious. He said, my spiritual master did not have any bad disciples. He said, I can say these things, not you. So that's the way that we're meant to understand it. Is it within Guru Sadhu Shastra? Point number one. Point number two, I maintain respect for all of those different individuals. Right? Actually, if we really want to be advanced in this, we want to try and seek first to understand. Why do they see the world this way? Is there something that I'm not seeing? Right? Because I have a blind spot. That's our humility. I don't know everything. So when I hear someone and I'm thinking, that doesn't make sense to me, I have two options. Option number one, from false ego, I immediately shoot it down because I don't understand it. Because I'm immature. And because I'm insecure, so I feel threatened by anyone who doesn't want to do things the same way that I'm doing, because I'm still not a grown-up in the room. But if I'm a bit more mature, let me try and understand. I have a view. I may not agree with the approach that you're making, but you're a devotee. You've been practicing. Let me first try and understand. So help me to understand, like, why? You know, how did you come to that conclusion? Is there something that I'm missing? And you'll be amazed. Just the fact that I gave you that oxygen, gave you that courtesy of first trying to understand where you're coming from, then you're much more likely to also hear my side. The difficulty that we have is we do completely the opposite. Attack first, ask questions later. Yeah? And we damage Prabhupada's movement and we damage the relationships in the process. I guarantee you, our movement could do so much more. So much more. If we just were mature enough and were advanced enough to actually deal with the devotees properly. And that's why if you read Nectar of Instruction, you'll see one of the differences between the Kanishtha Adhikari and the Majjham is the Majjham knows how to relate to the devotees properly. So all the devotees who don't know how to relate to the devotees properly, understand that's the neophytes. You got it? Yeah? So no one can pretend to be advanced if they don't know how to deal with the devotees. And not just know. It's not knowledge, it's activity. You deal with the devotees properly or you recognize that by my symptoms, I'm a Kanishtha Adhikari. I'm a neophyte devotee, which is why I don't know how to interact properly with the devotees, according to Nectar of Instruction. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for your question. Okay, by the way, whoever's in charge, you have to let me know, because otherwise I can go on forever. You have to let me know when we have to end, okay? But as long as the microphone's going around, whoever you want to pass it to next.
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Really, Hare Krishna. Very valuable and meaningful.
Sorry? Yes, so we'll pass it to you after,
Yeah.
Oh, so Prabhu's going to ask and then we'll pass it and then maybe that's the last one.
Really, very valuable and meaningful lecture. A lot of things you mentioned, go deep, you know, develop the bhava, develop the prem. And like how to get follow the instruction is the key thing, right? But the main thing, we hear a lot through the lecture, mm-hmm. we read books, a lot of things. But really, very hard to, get into those mood, touch the heart of the people. Like develop the taste, We hear a lot, we develop, everything we know, theoretically we know. Like these the things, if you do, you get it. But how to transform, in your heart, that's the key thing, Because the sneha, I was reading the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentioned, if you double the sneha, you will get closer to Krishna very quickly, irrespective of anything else. But how to develop that sneha in your heart, purify your heart. That's the main key thing. How to do that?
There's two things to emphasize here, and then we'll take Mataji's last questions. If you pass the microphone over. The first thing is, I cannot emphasize the importance of association. What you want, find the devotees who already have it. Associate with those devotees who have the qualities that you want in a humble mood, and the qualities that they have within themselves, they will be transferred to your heart. It actually works like that. And the second thing is, our difficulty in our movement is we read too much and we hear too much. And what I mean by that is it's like someone who takes in lots of food and superficially. What you should try to take this in, just like when Prabhupada takes prasadam. When Prabhupada takes prasadam, it's a meditation. So he sits down, sometimes often by himself, and you can see he's just eating one thing and he's chewing and he's meditating on it. And when you do that, it's actually full assimilation. So when you go to a practical thing that we can do in our spiritual life, Don't try and take everything in. There is so much in the teaching. Start with one thing. And really try to churn it, go deep with it, and apply it, and live it. You keep hearing, but you take one particular thing, and you work on that. So associating with devotees who have the qualities that we desire, and even while we're reading and hearing, try to work on one thing at a time and try to really understand, okay, I want to develop this quality of humility, for example. What exactly does that mean? Try to understand that deeply. Maybe I'm going to study what Prabhupada said about humility through different statements of the Bhagavatam and then other statements of Prabhupada. Okay? Then I'm going to start to practice humility. I'm really going to work on this key thing. Okay? And of course, behind all of it, if we perfect our chanting, everything else will come. Okay? So what's behind all of this is we have to try, and I'm speaking to myself, you know, so I'm preaching to myself, we have to try and chant properly. Like that. And that means chanting properly is not just the time you wake up. It's the way that you live your life. If I'm making offenses, the holy name will not manifest itself to me, himself to me. Does that make some sense? Okay. Mataji, the last question, Chris, then we'll stop.
For a wonderful clap.
Thank you for coming and your encouraging words. Thank you.
Thank you. What if you try all that love and care and dig deeper into the what's happening, perhaps the behavior of the leader or the teacher and the mood they're in, and you, in the end you become so complacent, you're stuck. So how, you know, the behavior and that kind of attitude actually ends up you feeling stunted, you're not growing. And so what can you do? Is it good to walk away? Or?
No. So we should never leave Krishna consciousness. If it's leading to that result, it means it was more sentiment than genuine loving dealings. When we engage in proper Vaishnava dealings, it's according again to Guru Sadhu Shastra. So if it's done in that way, it will only lead to progression. So if I'm finding that I'm so-called being kind and encouraging in the association of devotees, and I'm doing I'm practicing properly and I'm not growing, it means I have to look at the way that I'm interacting with the devotees. It means there's something that I'm misdiagnosing. And this is really important. We should get a second opinion. If I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong, speak to the devotees. I will say in my own spiritual life, I've had so many amazing paradigm shifts when I've received guidance from different devotees. I can't tell you how much it's helped me. You'll be shocked. I can't tell you how much Krishna uses the devotees who we're speaking to give us insights that just change your entire approach to spiritual life. So I would encourage all of us, even if you think you know the answer, it's good to discuss and get guidance and insight and bounce ideas off devotees. And of course, that's mentioned in the Six Loving Exchanges, revealing the mind in confidence. Like that. And that way, Krishna, if we're sincere, he will often use those devotees who we are speaking to help us to fine-tune our path back home, back to Godhead. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. And on that bombshell, we will stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Nitya Gaura Premanandi. Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Yeah, 100% strict with us. Prabhupada says we should be 100% strict with ourselves, 90% tolerant with others.
Everybody doesn't know how to switch this off.